This episode is brought to you by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app.
The underdog is howling.
This is Stanford Steve and the Bear.
Ah, yes. A home team getting points. What's better than that?
Wow. We got some news. We got another week. We got a slate. We got a future slate that looks a lot better than this slate. Bears fresh off Monday Night Football and ABC Prime and the first game day trip. Bear, how are we doing?
I'm doing well. I just want to defer and give the first 60 seconds, 90 seconds, 120 seconds to our guy, Buck Nuss. I just want to let him empty the chamber and just get it all out, because I know he's feeling really good right now.
All right, clock's ticking. Go.
I'll just say I'm happy and glad football's back.
That's it.
Yeah, we'll keep it short and sweet. They don't come here for me. They come here for picks.
Well, the interesting thing too that I noticed on Bucknut's profile.
Yeah.
I see Marty Smith's America.
Yep.
SVP pod.
Yeah.
Something else that's missing.
Do you guys have a hashtag? Get a hashtag going.
Isn't that the job of the producer?
I mean, do you want me to develop one? I mean, you know.
Well, I mean,
why you got to rain on my parade, Bear? Having a great day.
Well, I allotted that time to get your feelings and talk about you. I figured I would discuss something about you and the fact that you pump up Marty Smith, you pump up SVP, and here we are.
Here we are, the JV squad.
Yep, pretty much used to that.
Wednesday tapings for the JV squad. But obviously big news, really happy for the Big Ten. That's why you, Bucknut, included. You are getting a season. It got to that point. Now, I'm just trying to figure – no one's going to care about what happened in the past now that they have a season. I just hope we can move along, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I haven't seen is schedule, Bear. Have you seen anything about – matchups?
No, I would assume that you're going to play everyone in your division, and then you'll play a couple of crossover games, and then you'll play that one other crossover game in the ninth game. I saw Barry Alvarez make a comment that he expected one later in the week, so I would assume maybe by the weekend we'll have a schedule. But the biggest question I have, obviously, is like, what changed like between now and when they made the decision? I totally get and appreciate and understand and respect the want and the desire and the need to make sure, protect their players and staff and coaches. And I get all that. But all they had to do was do what the SEC did. And we're going to postpone the start of the season till September 26th. Time is your friend. Like, use those 5 or 6 weeks to get more information, see what changes, and all of the negativity and the ill will and the backlash and everything it's got, like that would have been avoided. All they had to do was say, we still plan on playing, we're going to delay the start of the season, and we'll take it then. But I'm happy that we're here. I'm happy they now have testing that they're comfortable with and a situation they're comfortable with. So it's going to open up a whole other can of football topics in terms of playoff and bowls and more opt-outs maybe, or guys going to opt in. So it's going to be an interesting few weeks.
That's what I was going to say about the opting in and opting out guys. Like, what did they get to redo their decision? Like, didn't Wade from Ohio State announce yesterday he opted out?
Or a couple of days ago. I would assume, again, I don't know, but like, as long as you haven't, like, officially, like, withdrawn from school or signed with an agent or
– yeah.
filed any paperwork, I would assume like an opt-out is just like, yeah, I'm not going to play this year. So I would think that if Wade and the other guys who opted out want to come back and play, that they certainly could.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. go to your happy price, Priceline.
Do I still get to cash my Ohio State National Championship ticket if they win the title this year?
I believe so. I believe I remember seeing verbiage that as long as there is a national championship played, tickets will be honored.
All right.
So you have action.
I did see no tickets for fans. Family members only in the Big Ten play. I believe the ADs voted on that one. We're taping this before noon on Wednesday, so information's coming out as we go. Sorry if we're not totally up to date, people, with the information regarding Big Ten. Wanted to get it out there, though.
I mean, it's kind of a bummer for fans not to be able to go, but I think the boon of actually being able to turn on a television and watch your team play is the highlight here, and I think fans will get over not being able to go to a game if they know they have a season and they're able to sit down and watch college football from college game day at 9 o'clock in the morning till Coastal Carolina, Kansas at midnight.
Wow, how about that one, huh?
Yeah, that was one of those we talked about last week. Like, why were people betting on Kansas? Why did that line move? Like if you would have not known, like, who was Coastal Carolina and who was Kansas, like who's the Power Five team and who's, like, the group of, you would have had no idea. You would have thought that Coastal Carolina was the Power Five team.
That's absolutely. A bad,
Kansas is terrible.
Yeah. Another easy lot, like we were wondering, easy live bet game last week.
Yeah.
Probably the easiest of the week
for
me. But shout out to the Chanticleers. I thought they were really impressive. They got some dudes, man. They got some speed. I know our buddy Cole Kubelek just got the call. He's doing sideline for their game Friday night against Campbell, who I still think was the craziest game of the week last week. I watched that one. There was a serious dead zone time Saturday afternoon when it was like half when the rain delay or the lightning weather delay happened in Tallahassee. Notre Dame was it just felt like to me a snooze fest. It wasn't doing it for me. And I actually had the Georgia Southern Campbell game on that turned into just complete mayhem and was awesome. Felt bad for Mike, a former Nebraska great, Mike Minter, head coach of the Camels. So many things happened in that game. We couldn't even get into a highlight because we were so pressed for time following an NBA game Saturday night and obviously a slate of college football. But that was crazy. Texas State was just nuts. But it was good. The noon slate was incredible. Were you flying clean during that noon slate? You were out of there, Winston-Salem?
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you able to catch the end of those noon games?
No. I got home, and because Kirk didn't call the game on Saturday, I drove home from Wimbledon. So I literally got home around, oh gosh, I guess it would have been 5 o'clock or so. Yeah. I walked in just as the I think they were getting back from one of the lightning delays in Tallahassee.
Gotcha. And
I was well aware of what was going on, though.
Absolutely. You're always dialed in. A couple things just about, like, the idea of being – like, Kansas. We know that's the last game. I get it that's the last game everybody's watching. But, like, the expectation – like, were people expecting Kansas to be good or just not as bad or afraid to give Coastal credit? Where do you fall in that?
I think people were expecting Kansas to be better because – year two, less miles, and they nearly beat Texas last year, and they pulled that big upset over BC. Like, I thought people thought they were going to be a progression, but that was exactly opposite of what I thought. I said, like, all sorts of quarterback issues. Offensive line is bad. They have any playmakers on defense. I thought this was like a year where maybe you take a step back and then you potentially move forward in year three. But, maybe like I said, there were rumors out there about Coastal Carolina not playing guys because they weren't necessarily ready in football shape after having some limited practice. But I think it'll be interesting. It was a Coastal Carolina team that beat them last year and returned to one of the highest rates of production in the country. So that was not a I guess maybe it was a surprise that it was as one-sided as it was, but it wasn't surprising to me. at all. That Coastal won the game, and that was when we talked about on the win pod too. Like, who was Kansas beating? Who 2.5? They're winning 3 games. Who are they beating? Like they got no. I mean, as long as they play the entire season now, is it in order? I mean, that's the verbiage on that ticket. But like that's you just got to hope and pray that they finish out the season and cash that ticket, because there's no way they're beating three Big 12 teams.
Not to the same degree as Kansas, but Florida State, I was in the same boat. That's why I was so hesitant with them. I ended up giving out the under in that game because Norvell, he's going to get his stamp on the program, but he still has to coach what's there. These coaches just get crushed for circumstances that are not under their control. They can only coach what they have there. He had half of a year. Yes, all right, he pulled the plug on the Georgia Tech quarterback. I get it, all right? That's a decision he made. But there was way other problems with the roster, or so many more other problems with the roster that he has to deal with that I am sure he will get better with, as that's why he got hired. So the idea that Norvell is going to come in, James Blackman was going to be, you know, a Heisman candidate is just so dumb to me. Like, you got to give these coaches, and it's just the acceleration of expectations on these coaches is just so unfair to me. Like, the guy's out there trying. He's trying to make chicken you know what out of chicken you know what, and you know it's a process. There, you have to go through some negatives, and you learn from mistakes. So it's just the criticism to me. Like, and I try not to go on Twitter at all during the games. Like, I'll check in after a game's over just to see if, like, you know, school records or if I missed anything while I was watching the games. But like the things that are said are just so nauseating to me. It's just not a place for me to go on while there's a commercial in a game or anything like that. Well, and I know you got to keep up with it though, because you know you got games that night and you're just getting done with game day. So
yeah, it's
not a fun place.
No, it's not. But again, that was something that we talked about previewing the season as well. Like, this season's about more than just one wins and losses for Florida State. It's about building these guys' confidence back up and feel and being able to get guys in line with Mike Darvall's system and just make them feel having fun again playing football, because what happened the last couple of years was just awful in terms of just lack of discipline and penalties, and the year before that the way the whole Jimbo Fisher era ended. So this is not like a sudden problem for Florida. This is like a 3-year ongoing deal. So I would expect them to kind of the way that maybe Georgia Tech and Louisville last year improve as the year goes on. And by the end of the year, maybe you have a bit more of a cohesive team.
Speaking of Louisville, got to watch them last Saturday night. Western Kentucky, our man Pigram, not impressive on the offensive side. I will say that.
Yeah.
I do think Miami.
That was fun. It was fun for them to get that down to the 3-yard line and not score there. That was good.
Yeah.
Even though someone told me, I can't confirm because, but I was told that they were like, oh yeah, you went 2-1 on the board. I'm like, I did. I thought Louisville's total was like 56.5, 57, and someone said that like it went down to like 56 or 55. I'm like, I don't know, but it wasn't that when I had to make a pick on the show. So
yeah,
like I can only go with what I see. So there might be some people out there that actually did win that Louisville over win total. So I hope that's the case if they did.
Okay.
I know it wasn't for me. And then the old end of game situation there too with the ball inside the 5, and they opted not to score again. So there are a lot of points left on the field that night. So we move on.
Did anything else from last week before we move to this week?
Moving forward, and I'm sure books will probably adjust a little bit, how offenses seem to be behind. Even guys with returning quarterbacks and returning talent in receivers and coaching staffs. Like you saw Sam Howell in North Carolina struggle, throwing a couple picks, Newsom muffing a punt there. Ian Book in Notre Dame, he seemed to struggle some. And maybe that's a situation where maybe we all kind of overlooked the loss of Claypool and the tight ends. And maybe that offense is going to struggle.
Maybe a little like Jake Fromm last year.
Yeah.
You know?
So it did look like the offenses were a little bit further behind. So I would maybe look towards this weekend, some teams that are taking the field for the first time and really kind of maybe struggling offensively a little bit. And then looking ahead to next week when the SEC starts playing with two teams that haven't played on the field, maybe some of these totals will be a little bit higher than they should be right off the bat. And at least if maybe not right off the bat, but maybe you observe a couple of series, and if you're expecting a lower scoring game and you get through a couple of drives with no points, you hop in alive then. But I think that was the biggest takeaway for me was how a bunch of offenses, I mean, even you saw Thursday night with Yerick King in Miami. He missed a lot of throws. And this is mm-hmm. a guy who's played a lot of college football. So that was another observation that I had.
And again, I mean, they've been getting their due, I feel like, all week, but Sunbelt, Funbelt, shout out to you guys just yep. going up and handling business. I'm not making excuses, but it was, I mean, I thought the Arkansas, I mean, good on the guys not moving the line much. I mean, because I'm getting word Friday about Arkansas State possibly having stuff, and then Kansas State is totally under wraps, and then you figure out they don't have guys. Then you go to I had the game on at work because we were working. I did not pay for the pay-per-view of Oklahoma, I'll say it right now. It was just funny to see those guys that covered a team just picking apart pregame warm-ups, like, this guy's not out there, this guy's not out there, this guy's not out there. So there is information out there. I want to say these reporters are awesome. Pay attention on social media pregame, because you will get information before kickoff. And I want to say now, I mean, every team is different, but like when teams come out, they're going to come out an hour before, like, suited up, and you know, and beat reporters will know who's on the field practicing. And that's when you'll see, like, hey, so-and-so's out here for warmups. Looks like he's going to be a go. That's like an hour around, because usually you're going to have your special teams come out first and get to all those guys. They come out like an hour and a half, and then slowly but surely the whole team comes out. Offensive line, defensive line are usually the last guys to come out. But, like, skill guys and all that stuff, there's known about that. So I just thought that was interesting. And for people, you know, we're always looking for information, especially we talked about not giving out games too early in the week because we don't know of possible roster moves as far as guys being active or inactive or, you know, just out. So it's be careful out there, but there is stuff, good stuff on Twitter to
yeah. The Arkansas State reporter, his name is escaping right now. He basically tweeted a picture of the two deep, and it just lines after line after line, like these guys are not on the field. And here's what I hope won't happen. I hope that teams are not going to come out now in numberless jerseys to try and avoid letting people know who's playing and who's not. There's probably going to be a coach out there who's so super secretive, even up to an hour before the game, that you're just they're going to send their team out there either with no numbers or mesh jerseys over yeah. numbers, so you can't tell. So I'm hoping that these coaches aren't like so ridiculously secretive, sensitive about this, even up to an hour before a game, because there is a news value to it. So I'm hoping that's not the case, but I expect someone to get ridiculously crazy. And I tore down our guy Buck Nuts before earlier about just the not having our name on his pod, but I want to give him a little, you just send us a note here as we're taping that Pat Freiermuth, Penn State's great tight end, is opting back in. So we've seen one, and I'm sure we're probably going to see more.
All right. I like that news. Good news.
Yes.
One thing on that with the coaches, if they were to do that, I would be so mad. Because as a player, you get yourself so mentally and physically ready. Like, that's your part of your routine, getting dressed, getting taped up, getting things all set. And then, like, if I had to put on a different jersey and come back in, that would just throw me off. And I know that sounds selfish and petty.
No, it doesn't.
Messes with you. All right, so I want to move ahead. As bad as the slate looks, and I think it is a worse slate than last week, I am super, super fired up for the game that you're going to be at the old L's up and the U coming in. I am just fascinated by this matchup. We saw you mentioned Thursday night and how it wasn't pretty, but the idea to see Miami run for 335 yards, was it 335, 337?
Yeah, 337, I think it wound up at.
That had to be good for you Canes fans out there. We said it before the season. That was one of my favorite coordinator hires was Rhett Lashley to come in. Obviously, Derek King helps things a lot. We've seen the clip of Tim Hasselbeck on the game calling Derek King Houdini on that 3rd and 9 early in the third quarter, which is just certain things that Derek King can do that nobody else can. And, man, I would love to see him in a race against some of these guys that we watch on Saturdays because I think he's just as fast as some of these other skill guys. On the other side, Louisville, we touched on that impressive win against Western Kentucky, which I thought was a tough spot, given double digits into a team that had a good year defensively. Louisville was not neither team was clean with the football or started off early on. Louisville let Miami or Western Kentucky hang around. And the idea of Louisville as a whole and Satterfield and the versatility of their offense, I feel like Cunningham is a more consistent thrower than De'Aaron King. I do think there are some holes on the defense that Miami can exploit for Louisville. But I felt you couldn't really see what Louisville's defense was all about because Western Kentucky really played subpar offensively last week. But I just trust the Louisville staff here more than the Miami staff as a whole. So I'm gonna give the 2.5 here. I'm gonna go money line. It was 135 or 140. The line was 2.5. I'm gonna go Louisville money line for a pick this week.
Well, I'm on the exact opposite side here from you.
Okay.
Which it took like 1 week for it to happen.
Tell me why.
I was really impressed with Miami's defense. I mean, you're looking at a team that they'll add, one drive longer than 34 yards, and maybe the sack numbers weren't there, but Roche and Silvera and Phillips, and they were in the backfield all night long. And I thought Louisville's offensive line showed that it's a work in progress, mm-hmm. At least early in the game. And just the fact that Miami – finally showed the ability to dominate and control a line of scrimmage. And I mean, to be able to have King miss on some throws the way they did, and then just be able to fall back and just run the ball for three bills. I thought Harris and the other backs that they brought in showed some spark. Yeah, I think Louisville's defense played well against Western, but I think obviously this is a much tougher task. It really surprised me last year. I mean, maybe there is a little bit of revenge at play that Miami put up 52 on this team last year. But I don't know. I think Miami opened up as a favorite. Now it's flipped to Louisville, minus 2.5 there. So I actually do like the King. I know that Miami's been terrible away from home against ranked teams. You go back to 2005, and they're 3-23 against ranked teams away from home, which is, I mean, unheard of. I mean, that's just awful. A program like Miami has perpetually been should not win three games away from home against ranked teams over a 15-year period. I mean, that's horrific. But I think King will improve now, getting back for a second game. I think he and Jordan will be synced up a bit more. And I do like the Canes to go on the road and win the game.
How are we going to handle road game like stats and the idea of it, because I just can't, you know, like I mm-hmm. even in the NFL, you know, it was just like, oh, you know, who was it? New England's going to play at Seattle. I'm like, they're going to play them in an empty stadium.
Yeah, correct.
Like, why don't they meet halfway and play in like Kansas?
Yeah, you're getting on a plane to go play
and,
a game.
And if Miami were to go on the road right here and win this game and like, they should, you know, that should count to, you know, road wins against, road wins against ranked teams, mm-hmm. you know, but there is the fearlessness though, like hey, we don't have to deal with all the crap.
Yep.
You know, like, let's just go play our game and let's go. So for a guy like Lashley and Manny Diaz, who I know he has, you know, puts a lot of pressure on himself to get this program in a state, like, you got to feel a lot better than what a normal situation was. Because what was it? Was it the last time was that the last time Louisville beat a highly ranked team when game day went there for that noon game with Lamar?
There was some kind of coincidence. It was almost 4 years to the day.
4 years to the day.
The 63-20 game when Lamar went nuts against the Noles. Florida State hasn't been the same since.
Hmm. All right. So we disagree. I like that.
Yeah, we do.
That is. So you're taking 2.5, or you want to go money line?
I'll take the 2.5 to be safe.
Okay. All right. Very good. What else you got your eyes on?
Tulane Navy, I think a lot of people are going to assume, and maybe right, and I think rightfully so, that you can expect Navy to put forth a better effort on Saturday, but I don't know how good they are. Like, can you just solve like an entire off season's worth of problems in like 10 days? Like, I don't know. Like it took Tulane a while to get going. Like, again, another offense, it took a while to get going, but like the last quarter and a half, like they were great against South Alabama.
Yes,
forced a bunch of three and outs. Offense finally took over and scored final 21 points of the game. Like, I don't know. I mean, Navy really struggled with the physicality of BYU, and not that Tulane is a physical team to the extent that BYU is. But that's still a power running game. Willie Fritz's offense, Tulane's defensive line is really good. Like, I don't know if this is a great matchup for Navy coming off of the complete blowout that they suffered against BYU. I would lean towards taking Tulane and laying the 7 here.
Okay, I got a couple office pools I was in, and I took Navy in those just because of the familiarity bear. Navy's won 4 of the last 5 meetings since joining the conference against Tulane. The average margin of victory in those 5 games total was 6 points. In the last 3 meetings have been decided by a total of 6 points. So it is a little different. Navy could be not great, to be nice, but I will take the points. It's still over 7.5, I think. I think it opened at 8.5, so – there is an idea. You don't know what Tulane's going to have, seeing how they played last week as far as the information we're gathering. But I can see where you're coming from. Tulane looks very impressive at South Bama last week. Down, I believe it was 24-6 at the half, and they just came out running the football. Keon at quarterback is really impressive. I think an upgrade from last year. So that's one of the games I do have circled because I'm excited to see what happens in that game. The other game I have, you know, we start seeing every week now we're going to have teams that we haven't seen yet. And I think it's the 3:30 ABC game, but Georgia Tech and UCF. I watched Georgia Tech last week, obviously, against Florida State. Thought really highly of the flashes I saw from Sims, the QB. If that kid can, you know, get some things around him, I think he's got the goods, man. Running the ball alone, I couldn't believe how – graceful he was running. It's like when his feet don't even hit the ground. Obviously, Florida State and UCF, I don't know how to compare those defenses, what he's going to see. UCF's not – and that's in the line I've seen everywhere. I saw like earlier 10. I thought I saw 6. It's at 7.5 right now on Caesars with William Hill. Over under 60, that seems kind of high. Talking to people that cover UCF, we know they had, 12 names opt out earlier this year. I don't think any of those guys were on their two deep. I know the – you know what? That's wrong because I know the backup quarterback, Mac, opted out.
Yeah.
They still have Dylan Gabriel, who I loved last year. But this is a stay away for me just because of the unknown of UCF and giving 7.5 to a team that already played – last week and went to Tallahassee and won a conference game against Florida State, which we already touched on.
You think there might be something there though with UCF getting a chance to play a Power Five team, and I'll be the Toronto fans. It's on the road. Like this might be a spot where I might consider laying the points here. Just because okay. I think they'll be wound up and excited to be able to play a Power Five team. But who knows? I could be wrong. By the way, I as you probably would be surprised to hear, I was not locked into the Clippers Nuggets game 7 last night.
You weren't.
They just showed that I was watching the Islanders game, so I missed out on the Nuggets.
Big win for the Isles.
But they did. They just showed a highlight, and Paul George hit the side of the backboard.
He did.
That was interesting.
Do you know how many points Kawhi and Paul George combined to score in the fourth quarter?
I heard that number was 0, as many as you and I.
Yep, and we weren't even there. Maybe we'll get to that on next week's podcast. Clippers looking ahead to 2021.
Okay, well, yeah, we could do that.
Check out the draft. I mean, they only traded 5 first rounders.
Preview the Bucks next season too. Will the Greek Freak be in Milwaukee?
NBA people. I think Wisconsin people are happy they got football back, so they'll be happy.
Actually, we do need to do that. By the way, we need to get our guy Windhorst on.
Okay.
I was talking to him the other day. We're absolutely doing that.
We had a little chat about the Battle of Ohio. This could be the Browns' season on the line too. He's fired up for the Burrow and
Browns. Browns are a solid eliminated survivor pool pick this week, I think.
Oh, already giving it out. I was going to say
Bengals. Bengals short week, rookie quarterback.
God, that was a heartbreaker, man.
The team that gave up a billion in the Browns. Yeah, Brown. I mean, you're not going to use him again, probably. You want to take Tennessee right away? I don't know.
I'm in both survivors. I'm in a survivor where you have to win in advance every week, and I'm also in a survivor where you have to pick the loser every week.
Yeah, I have a loser.
I don't like to pick the same game for those.
I know. I don't either. I took the Bears in my loser pool last week. How'd that work out for me?
Ooh. Trying to get a little too cute.
Yeah, too cute. The Lions were up double digits in the fourth quarter before they completely fell apart.
Yeesh.
The Bears were never the right side in that game.
Until
they were.
All right, let's get back to the college slate. Yeah. I'm trying to find things, Bear. I'm looking. Pitts. Go ahead. You got something?
I like Pitt.
You do?
I do.
Okay.
How many points is Syracuse going to score?
I was just going to ask you. You like Pitt because it's more about the opponent.
Yeah. Okay. I think Pitt can score 35. I think between Pickett and the running game, I think there's a good chance of a non-offensive touchdown. Syracuse's problems that they had last year still exist. Their offensive line has got a converted fullback, I think, a converted tight end, or whatever, playing offensive line now. Quarterback situation is bad. Their defense hung around as long as they could until Hal got going. I don't know. I don't see it with Syracuse at all. I would consider laying the 21.5 with Pitt. Maybe you get a 35-10, 38-14 type of game between the Syracuse and Pitt. I would look at that, and I'd look at BC getting 6 against Duke. I think that number has come up a little bit, but if you can get BC in 6, I know Duke went to Notre Dame and played okay last week defensively, offensively. I still think this is a team. It's going to struggle a little bit, and I think Jeff Hafley's going to go to BC and make a huge difference. I think Jerkovich coming in is going to be a positive move for them on the quarterback side. I think, like I said, they'll be improved defensively. I think BC getting 6 would certainly be something to look at as well.
Okay, just going back to that Pitt Syracuse game, I went back and watched a little bit of last year's game, and then I was just messing around. With the box score, like you talked about, the problems last year that Syracuse had are the same as this year. Pitt had 9 sacks in that game last year. 9. And Jalen Twyman was awesome in that game last year. He opted out this year, so he's not playing. But it feels like, you know, you talk about a guy who was able to sustain some things at Pitt because he had a couple huge upset wins. And that kept enough momentum around the program because the Pitt people would say Narduzzi wasn't doing enough. But it really looks like, Bear, like he's put his – like Narduzzi gets hired, all right, they're going to be a good defensive team. The guy's gotten his – built to build his roster around a defense that he could do some things with. And I think that's a credit to them giving the guy time, not putting too much pressure on it. He did have some monster wins in beating Miami, you know, a couple of years ago. And he went – He beat Clemson, didn't he? With James Conner?
Yep.
Right? He beat Penn State. Should have beat him last year. Got crushed for that decision. You know, last year, obviously, losing that game 17-10. But it just – I've been looking at the money on this game, and it's still pretty high on Syracuse, which, you know, makes – I mean, it's 69% right now, plus 21.5. So – it starts to make me, you know, feel good with you about going on this one. Just I like Pickett as a quarterback. I know everybody's ramping up to go. I think Pitt hosts Notre Dame on the 23rd. I know I saw Mark Richt pick that as his upset special for the year, that Pitt's going to beat Notre Dame that day. But I like what I see from Pitt, especially because they're wearing the old uniforms. How good
absolutely.
Are those?
Absolutely. Oh,
God.
Absolutely.
Why did they ever change?
They should not have ever changed it. That is a unit that should never, ever, ever change.
I mean, and look at the players they had that could have been wearing those nice uniforms. Darrell Reeves.
Fitzgerald, Darrell Reeves.
Tyler Palko, you know?
Connor.
Legends. Connor. That's an interesting one. And then what was – oh, Duke. Yeah, obviously, BC, it's weird. You don't know what to get. First-year head coach, first game, going on the road. I'm going to – I can't believe I'm saying it. I was impressed with Duke last week. Put it this way. They showed me more than what I thought they were going to be.
Yep, I agree with that.
Does that make sense? They competed. Chase Bryce could do some things, running the football. It was just, you know, tough matchup. Obviously, Notre Dame has more talent than them, but they hung in there. They showed me something. They were able to move the football. Brutal turnover at the end. But it was – it's just I don't know if I want to give 6 points with them because I have no idea what Boston College is bringing to the table except a quarterback that transferred from Notre Dame that has a lot of hype. So it is it's a stay away from me. That line's gone from 4 to 6 all over. One team I'm really, really excited to see because I picked them to make the playoff this year is Oklahoma State. This was a crazy game last year. I believe it was on bad beats because Chuba busted a long one. Tulsa was winning this game the first half.
They're up at half.
Year.
Yep, yeah. They're up at halftime.
And Oklahoma State got things going. I'm just really excited about Oklahoma State's roster. All the guys back on defense, which I think helps in that conference, especially seeing how a couple of the losses in conference last week. I like Spencer at quarterback. I love Chuba. Love the receivers. But it's 23 points in a team that all these guys feel like they know each other, playing high school around against each other in that area. And I don't want to give 23 points in a team's first game. You did it last week with Carolina. And how were you feeling in the first half of that game? I would imagine.
I felt like it was just going to take one score for Carolina. Okay. Before the dam broke, even like when it was 10-6 or whatever, I'm like doing the math. I'm like, all right, this very easily could have like 31-6 written all over it.
Boom, and called it.
Can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
Why is Troy only a 3.5-point favorite over Middle Tennessee?
That is a double circle game for me because I'm looking at it all week. And I'm just like, I get these feelings. Like, what am I missing here? Why am I only looking at that line 17 times a day and it's not changing? Who knows something that I don't, who knows the info that I don't know? Because I've seen Middle Tennessee and they're not good. And I know what Troy can be, but that I'm scared to take them.
As am I.
It's crazy how this stuff just messes with you, man. It's not good. Is the FAU game still on?
I think that's TBD.
Because they canceled practice yesterday.
Yeah, I think that's going to get canceled based on a couple of things that I had heard.
That's what I was hoping. I saw the Army AD tweet out Sunday, "Hey, we're looking for a game this week." I was like, "Is it possible Georgia Southern could go play Army this week?"
I would love to watch that game.
Right?
I'd love That'd to watch that
good
game.
Good one. What else? Carolina's playing Charlotte. Charlotte got the job done for us last week, but they lost their quarterback. I think they're out one of their best guys on defense too. Now that line's up to 30, over under 60. I don't know how many points Charlotte can score.
Agreed.
So I don't want to give 30 points, but if I had to lean in that game or take somebody in the office pool, I'm taking the Tar Heels. And then the other line that just moves every single hour is Baylor and Houston, and I get it. They have to cover themselves. The game is, you know, has less than 7 days to get ready for. Baylor's first game, Houston with Dave Aranda and Larry Fedora. Houston, obviously, Tune at quarterback. Dana Holgorsen, we know what he could do offensively. I believe I saw Bruce Feldman point out these two guys coached together on Mike Leach's first staff in Lubbock at Texas Tech. So I think it's a couple guys that are familiar with each other. Houston's now plus 4.5 and 62.5. I love Brewer to quarterback at Baylor. I know they did some work in the grad transfer job getting some guys on defense. I just don't know secondary wise. You got to have multiple secondaries to play against a Holgorsen offense. I know that. Anything else from you?
The other line that was interesting to me was the Wake Forest NC State game. Why is it NC State favorite? They haven't played. They were terrible last year. They had a bunch of COVID issues where they had to shut it down for a while. Had their opener pushed back to next week anyway. That Virginia Tech game. Like Wake actually played okay last week. I mean, that was about as good as a scenario as you could have gotten going to be getting points for a team that's already played Hartman's a proven quarterback and they show that I think they're going to be more competitive this year than maybe people would have thought. So yeah, that's another one where I don't get why NC State's favored. You brought up before when I was talking about Miami and. The road number, this is really a road game? I don't know.
It's a 2-hour drive.
Yeah, that, but that's what I'm saying. That number indicates NC State's favored only because they're at home. And I don't think that you should particularly be giving a team at home a 2.5 or a 3-point home field edge when I don't, especially when you're not getting on a plane and really disrupting any practice situation. It's a night game, I believe. So, I mean, there's probably a good chance Wake will just bust on over that day.
Actually, this is on the other side of my sheet. Wake Forest was on the sheet just on my basis of they played last week and NC State didn't. So I'm pretty sure I'm going to have them.
On the Vegas Insider site, it's got it listed as 8. So I'll see whether
Shout out to those guys because they've been changing everything.
Yeah, 8 o'clock ACC Network.
Let's go. Let's go Demon Deeks. Shout out to the Demon Deacon. I thought he gave a great effort on game day last week. Great effort. His energy was impeccable.
That was a different week, but it was good to be back on the road. And I'll say this, we kind of get on people when – for giving us a hard time a lot of times and all the negativity that's out there. But whether it was people who I know that texted me personally or people that tweeted at me in the game day staff or people that sent emails to an ESPN PR account, there were a lot of very nice things and a lot of very nice comments from people just being happy to see our show back on the road. And it kind of gave them a little bit of a normal routine type Saturday in the fall with our show kicking off the day into a Saturday of college football. So for those of you who you did reach out, we certainly appreciate hearing that we had a nice little positive positive part of your day and made you feel good. And we look forward to doing it again each and every week.
Absolutely. Awesome. It was, I was locked in. I was watching. I noticed a new picker alongside you, huh? Was that, is that going to be every week? We're dialing up Indianapolis.
I was going to say, well, that's not so fast, my friend. You talking about the Corso cutout, or you're talking about for the brand?
Yeah, I'm talking about for the brand. Shout out Pat McAfee.
Yeah, no.
Where do you go? He went 2-1.
He went 2-1. Yeah, he went.
Okay.
He went 2-1, and it looked like he was going to go 3-0.
Oh, he had Clemson. That's right.
Clemson. Yeah. But no, that was fun, and I hope to be doing that segment with him every week. It's good to kick stuff around with him back and forth and get into it. So I'm hoping.
Did you take anybody? Are you in the Superdog?
No.
Why not?
So I have an opportunity to take whatever dogs I want.
Yeah, but you should be on that on the standings. Was Reese the only one to win?
No, I think everyone won except for Kirk.
Oh, who did he take?
I forget. Whoever the one dog was, it didn't win.
That got smoked. Did he take Duke? No, they covered, didn't they?
No, he didn't take Duke. I can't remember who it was.
Yeah, like every underdog. That's weird.
It felt like everyone won.
All right. Wake and Louisville are my picks. That will definitely be in the column. I'm also on the column. I gave out an under you have to take just because we love unders. We hit that last week with the Georgia Tech, Florida State. I'm not sure what the under is going to be yet, but I will post it in the column that comes out tomorrow. Check that out every Thursday morning. I believe those are up by like what, 11 a.m.
Yeah, they are up pretty early.
You're the morning guy. I'm not the morning guy, so you guys.
Well, I'm the morning guy because I have to get up for a flight.
Okay.
Even though I think we're going to be pushing those flight departure times back a little bit on Thursday now, being that there's no team dinner on Thursday and there's no TV to worry about. So I think that mid-afternoon flight is probably going to be the way to go. That way I get to wake up here in the morning, have breakfast with my wife, settle in, kind of take.
Abilene Christian UTEP, you got anything?
I got nothing. I got nothing.
Texas State, UL Monroe. Texas State, brutal start to the season.
Yeah,
that game was nuts. Shout out to the boys from Ruston, Bad Boy Hall of Famers. They start their season at Southern Miss. That's a fishy line. That's a stay away for me just because I don't know.
New coach. Like, we have weird. Yeah, it's.
Like I said, this is Wednesday early on, so we're not sure that you touched on the FAU Georgia Southern. That might be a lean to getting canceled. Shout out to the Roadrunners, UTSA. They looked good last week.
Yeah, they did.
New system, up-tempo offense. They got some guys that could do some damage with the ball. So, Navy Tulane, you're on.
I'm on Tulane.
All right. Survivor, your picks.
I like the Browns just because I don't want to use the Titans. Even the Titans are obvious, but they're a team you probably want to use at some point later in the year. So we'll go Browns.
All right, I'm gonna go Titans and use them just because I need to, and I don't like having a Thursday night game. I don't like and there's not a lot of options. I always like taking a home. We talked about last week. I like taking a home team. So Tennessee is high on that list. I'm not sure about the Bears against the Giants. I might take the Giants in the loser survivor. We'll get to the Big Mike Happy Recap in a second. But just a reminder, DraftKings is giving new users a free shot at over $100,000. Download the DraftKings app and enter the code Steve at signup. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com. for details.
Row the boat, Sky Mon, go Gophers.
Big Mike, happy recap. Let's go Survivor picks first, Bear. You're going Browns?
Yeah, I'll go Browns.
Okay.
She can't beat rookie quarterback and a questionable coaching staff, and after losing 38-6 or whatever it was in your opener, you can't win that game. I'm not going to use it the rest of the way anyway. I don't want to use the Titans right off the bat.
All right, I'm going to go Titans just because they're at home, and I don't like taking Thursday night games, and I feel more confident in my man Vrabes. I'm going to go official Louisville money line, and also Wake Forest right as of right now. I will give you that under in the column. I'm not sure yet because numbers are moving up and down. So we are officially head to head with Louisville and Miami.
That's right. We're going opposite. We're going 900 number style, giving out opposite sides.
Shout out Stu Feiner. He was not happy at the Clippers last night.
No.
Oh,
check out
his Instagram.
Why aren't we having Christmas this year? Because the Clippers lost to the Nuggets.
Check out his Instagram. Right, it is legendary. You need a laugh, just check it out. My man Stu doing things. All right, so you're going Tulane and Miami.
I go Tulane, Miami, and then I like Wake.
Yeah,
I like Wake as well, and I'll let you know if I get bold enough to. And BC, I like BC +6.
You do like BC, okay?
Yeah. And then I'll let you know if I'll decide by the time I have to write the column if I'm going to be bold enough to lay three touchdowns with Pitt.
Yeah, that's. And also, Notre Dame, we didn't really touch on that. I mean, we touched a little bit on them. They're giving a boatload. I think it's now 26.
Yep.
Are they back in there 2:30? Yeah. Oh, they're on USA this week.
That's right. Yeah.
The US Open.
That's right. Yeah. No, Notre Dame gets booted to USA because
26.
Who do you like in the US Open?
Oof, that's a good call. You got to be accurate in the fairways.
Yep. Just think, if you and your boy were still up here, you could drive on down and do your hits from there.
I know. We were talking last night. Scott officially gave out Shoffley. I root for him, so I don't want to give him out because I don't want to jinx him. I'd like to just enjoy and see him win. Let's go. Oh, man.
Okay, while you're
talking. All right, who's yours?
I'm not overthinking it. I mean, I like Rahm.
You do?
Yeah. You look at what two of the four toughest courses on tour last year were in 2020, the way the ridiculous way they do the seasons, were Olympia Fields and Muir Field, and he won on both of those. So he can win on a tough course. I think he's kind of matured in a way where he's able to let bad holes and bad stretches kind of. He'll let it out and then he'll move on. So he's one of the few guys I think right now who can stare down DJ and go head to head with him. So I do like Rahm, and then I know people kind of like to take jabs at Tony Finau, but like the list of players.
What was that tweet you sent out last night?
The list since 2018, the list of players that have more top tens in majors than Tony Finau is. That's the list. There's nobody. He and Koepka both have six. And that's the beauty of there being a top 10 or a top 20 market, where if you don't want to play a guy to win, you play and finish in the top 10. And I think Finau was like +350 or so to finish in the top 10 this week. And I mentioned how Rahm had won at Olympia Fields and won at Muir Field. Finau finished fifth and eighth, I think, in those two events, and he finished third in the PGA. So, like, this is the guy who plays. He's a really positive guy. His attitude is great.
Awesome.
He's content going out there and grinding out a bunch of pars. So maybe he won't win, but I would be very surprised if he was not around for the weekend. I think, like Tiger, the gratuitous question on Daily Wager, and now I'm watching Tom Rinaldi, and the first thing they talk about is, here's Tiger Woods. But, like, what about – Doug had asked me the question yesterday on Daily Wager, hey, Tiger's 40 or 45 to 1, what do you think? And I'm like, to what, finish in the top 10? Like what about the way he's played since the restart, like, leads you to believe that he's got a chance to contend? He's got negative strokes gained off the tee. He's got negative strokes gained putting. if he played enough rounds to qualify, like he'd be in the 140s in terms of driving accuracy. So like I'd play him to miss the cut, and I'd
plus 155.
Yeah, I'd play him to miss the cut, and I might even consider playing Patrick Cantlay to miss the cut as well. A guy who I am high on.
Yeah,
just not had the year that I thought he would. Maybe the circumstances just threw him kind of out of whack, which is certainly acceptable and understandable. But he has played the U.S. Open four times, and he has played brutal on Thursday. And if he does that again, like I don't think he's going to be able to go low enough on Friday to make the cut. So I would consider maybe playing Patrick Cantlay to miss the cut as well.
Okay.
Was that a good enough filibuster for you to come up with a couple picks?
Yes, Tommy Fleetwood, Fleet,
the golfing Jesus, as you guys
say. Yes, sir. I like him, and Scott and I were throwing out Paul Casey. Been right there a bunch of a while. Usually plays really well. Circumstances, his Sundays have not treated him well. But that's just
if Morikawa didn't go crazy on Sunday at Harding Park, I mean, you'd be looking at
him and
catch the major champ.
Two other names are interesting to me is Berger and Simpson. Just consistent guy. I feel like, and I mean, when Berger gets it going, man, you saw him win those first couple. Of the restart, just keep an eye out there. You know, right around 30-1.
Yeah, well, remember, I mean, Webb Simpson, at Olympic went in and with on a course with some, a high score, I should say, or low score, whatever you want to say. Like he posted a number and guys just kind of backed up, and he wound up winning. And that could potentially happen again this week. And look at Berger. Remember a couple of years ago at Shinnecock, he was the final group there. I believe it was, 54-hole leader. He and Finau. Remember when they went out early on Saturday and before the greens got completely baked and the USGA screwed up the setup? Finau and Berger were your 54-hole leaders. So he's contended in majors before. He played well at the PGA. Yeah, I could totally see that.
All right. All right, so we're good there. U.S. Open picks, football picks. Go Jets.
Oof. I saw 0 seconds. The same number of points as Kawhi Leonard and Paul George had in the fourth quarter last night. 0 seconds of the Jets-Bills game. And my goal every week will be to watch 0 seconds of the New York Jets.
Come on. What's your protest now? I thought you were back.
They're terrible. The head coach is terrible. The skill positions are terrible.
Okay.
Defense look terrible. Like they're just a bad team.
All right.
Well, why do I want to waste my Sundays once I get home?
Well, I waste every night watching the Mets. They're terrible at every position. Their coach isn't good.
So are the Yankees.
Orioles and Marlins finally got their overs. Took me 3 years. That's it.
Well, you're not home yet. You got to get to 59 games.
That's correct.
You know
what's going to happen there.
You don't need any COVID positives there. You don't need any delays, any cancellations.
What do you think about the baseball playoff changeup?
Yeah.
Here's one thing. I meant to tweet it out. I'll tweet it out now. No matter what they do, somehow, some way, now they got the bracket set up and extra teams in, I'm still going to have to watch Yankees Twins in the first round. Somehow, some way, it is going to happen. I was holding on. I meant to tweet that before I went to bed. I'll tweet it out now. Somehow, some way, I'm going to have to watch that again.
I wonder what the because like the Yankees could be like what the
– They're to seven right now, and I think the Twins are to two.
That's what I want to make.
Seven and four, I think they are. It's possible. It'll happen.
Oh, yeah. The Twins are 30-20. Yeah, maybe they both win some games.
Yeah, I think the Yankees are going to win out.
Yankees are going to win out and go 39-21?
Yep, and go over. 37 and a half.
Dodgers are 34, so Dodgers need five more wins.
I had the Dodgers last night. God, what a sweat Jansen is still. Oh, two outs, nobody on, loads the bases. Not pretty, but we got
Dodgers. Dodgers got to win. Dodgers got to win five to go over. Red Sox are clinched. Oof. Angels are just about clinched. Well, the White Sox seem like they've won like 20 of their last 25 games.
Yeah,
it seemed like they were like 11-15 or something. Now they're 32-16. Goodness gracious.
Go Chai Sox. All right. Bucknut, is that it? You got any predictions before the schedule comes out?
I got nothing.
No?
Nope. I'm good. There's no need for anything else. I'm just enjoying today.
He's ridiculous.
Are you worried about the weather when you have to play Michigan now?
No.
No? Okay.
I'm more worried about just getting the games in. I'm not worried about the Big Ten.
Okay.
We'll smoke them.
All right.
Yeah, they got to be and look at Ohio State. They draw Illinois, Nebraska, and Northwestern from the West.
COVID's our biggest competition.
All right.
Yeah, you got to make sure all your players stay out of the Buckeye Cafe there.
All right, that's all I got. Bear.
I'm just scanning away to see if there's any other little offshoot event that we might have a pick for, but we don't. Actually, no. I should ask you. What Western Conference Finals now? NBA, Lakers Nuggets.
Lay it. That's what makes me so upset is that the Lakers were going to be a lot cheaper than they are now, and they were not going to lose to the Clippers.
And I guess the Heat won in overtime last night. They beat
the Celtics. Got the Heat for the Eastern Conference Final. I think the Heat might win it all.
Wow. It seems like everybody in the world, based on like who I follow on Twitter and stuff, like it seems like everybody in the world has a Heat future, either to win the conference or win the NBA title.
Well, you did go to the University of Miami, so I think you follow a lot more Miami people than the average person.
I'm 2-2, but yeah, like just like betting people, I'm like, yeah. Well, they were like the trendiest, like I guess sleeper team. I don't know, but
well, there's plenty of people out there that weren't.
I hope they cash.
They weren't believers. I had an original Celtics one, but that's out the window.
Celtics are alive.
Yeah. No, I know. But
well, why is it out the window?
Re-site I was on, redid everything.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's brutal.
Money back.
Oh, that's too bad.
It is.
I'm sorry to hear that.
All right, take us away.
The less you bet, the more you lose when you win.